districts, or is it for?
It's really, the variety is there. There's, you know, gyms, there's, you know, there's quite a variety. I just highlighted the ones that, but there's multiple in here, so I think there's a good variance of the facilities.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Smitty, and one of the things, too, that happens, there's not maybe a lot of buildings that are joint use, but you do have, for instance, community colleges using high school campuses in the evening.
Yes.
Or high schools are used by other community groups. But I'm like you, the more joint use we can have, the better it is for saving the taxpayers' money. It's not very smart to have duplicative buildings. You know, we have a gym built by the city and then another gym built by the high school. That doesn't make a lot of sense. And so some way or another, if we could get these governmental organizations to work together, we're going to save the taxpayer a considerable amount of money. Mr. Duffy?
Senator, members.
Excuse me. I think Mr. Tarkson maybe had a question along this line, then we'll move to Mr. Duffy.
Thank you. And I stepped out for a moment, so I apologize if you addressed this, but I mentioned earlier that in some of our high-need areas, low-performing schools, high-priority schools, they are also in urban areas that aren't expanding. And is the match part of it on the partnership any kind of a prohibition? Did you address that issue? In other words, the local match, it may be that that school district's also stressed financially, and the local city and its rec department or the park rec district. And I know one example, which is the Hayward Park and Rec District, is paying 45% of its operating budget into ERAF, where the average statewide is something like 20 or 25% of their operating budget goes to ERAF. But part of it is a crunch where they would like to do more programs. They've reduced from, I think, 11 to 2 their after-school programs because of a crunch. And so just a thought, has that been looked at by the allocation board, that part of the criteria?
As far as the local partner participating, right. I think that's one of the contributing factors to the reduced participation.
She mentioned that right now the rule is 25% by the local partner, 25% by the school district, and 50% by the state. And, you know, suppose we had some flexibility there where if it had to provide 50%, the state would only provide 50%, but maybe one could go 30% and the other 20%. But right now, it's pretty rigid. Is that right? It's 25%.
Yeah, there's
25.
Only one exception where if a district passed the local bond and in the bond it was, you know, declared that the district was participating in a joint use and was funding it. That's really the only exception there is. But otherwise, yes, it is pretty rigid on the...
That flexibility, Mr. Chairman, you suggest, I think, is a good idea, and maybe even some flexibility if we can define it in a way that's fair, that maybe the state share would be larger so that you would have more uptake of the dollars that are there, but the state share is 60% if the locals can demonstrate that they have a certain criteria of need and a certain lack of resources to leverage in.
I believe Ms. Park told us that what had happened was that previously sometime the school district provided all the money and the local partner provided none of the money and yet got the benefit of it, and that there was subsequent legislation.
Yes.
That led to 25, 25, 50. Mm-hmm. And so obviously it is a subject of legislation, and a future bill could change that amount.
And Senator, that was AB 16 that did that.
Okay.
AB 16 changed it to the 25-25.
The passed when?
Say it again.
Which was passed when again?
It was the bond bill that created 47 and 55 in 2002.
And through the chair.
Go ahead.
The local partners can be whom? Who or whom?
The local partners may be a city, a county, another governmental agency like a community college district, state college, may also be someone who is a nonprofit that provides funding for this project. And you can have, Senator, more than two joint use partners. You could have three, but But the intent, I think, of AB 16 was to try to bring about other local funds so that the state dollars would go further. And there, I believe, was a belief on the part of some members of the legislature and some of their staff that this was really a free ride for some communities to have facilities.
Well, a couple of observations and then a question for both folks if they want to respond. I've seen this work both ways. You may have a city or a county who is perhaps not as enlightened as we would like on some of these issues and says, well, why are we going to pay 25% of the cost of a, quote, school building, end quote? And my judgment would be that they have sort of missed the point. By the same token, I'm not terribly worried about whether or not somebody puts 0, 10, 20, 25% in as a partner because they, quote, get the benefit of the state and school district monies. The point isn't that the city or the county or the community college district gets the benefit. The point, again, is that the common constituents get the benefit. And I think if we thought about these issues a little less in terms of the governing board or governing entity and a little bit more about the community benefit and the common constituencies, we'd be in a much better shape on some of these. So I share the view that a little more flexibility, the joint uses that I'm personally familiar with and in some cases have played a role in, have been marvelous opportunities to bring parent education on campus, to bring healthcare on campus, which we know has an impact then on the quality of education that kids get, and on and on and on. And to worry too much about which taxpayer pocket the nickel comes out of to produce the good result is to sort of cut off our nose to spite our face, as my mother used to tell me not to do. So I guess my question for both of you is, where would you encourage us to go on this issue of flexibility that the chair has raised?
My answer to that is really, I think, where all of you were kind of lighting with your thinking, and that is, if there is more flexibility as to how that local partner can be a partner, and that may happen in a variety of ways besides those capital dollars. One of the things that, that when we were involved in trying to assist two agencies to come together, and actually the applying agency didn't really have any capital dollars. It was the other agency that had the capital dollars. But the agency that was the applicant upon whose property it would sit was taking upon itself for the next 20 years all of the insurance, all of the maintenance, all of the custodial that would take place. And that was calc'd out to be equivalent to or close to being the capital cost. Those kinds of things, I think, could be done.
But what about the service itself? Suppose I've got a county and the county says, we're prepared to open a medical clinic in that neighborhood, but we need you to pick up 100% of the cost of the building. But if you do 100% of the cost of the building, we'll do 100% of the cost of providing a health clinic in that neighborhood at that school site for the next 20 years. Mm-hmm. You're telling me under the existing rules, quote, that doesn't count because we'd be giving them, quote, free space?
It would not count for two reasons. One is because they're not paying capital, and the other is that project, I don't think, fits a definition that's in joint use today. But a different project that may be a child care project that may have some additional health care benefit to it probably could.
All right, so going to a project that clearly does qualify then, child care. So if I had a nonprofit in the area that was going to provide child care, affordable child care for the next 20 years, and that was their commitment under the terms of an agreement, but they couldn't do the capital costs. You're telling me we literally couldn't let them have that space because they couldn't put up their 25% of the share even if they were prepared to provide subsidized child care for the next 20 years?
What I would say, Senator, is that the district would not be able to qualify for funding because of that, unless, as Louisa said, D.D. Alpert helped us add this to the law, that they put it in a local bond and they specifically identified that they're doing a joint use for this kind of purpose or general purpose. Then that could occur.
Let me just work a little on clarification here, and maybe what Senator Simidian is saying is that we need more flexibility. However, there can be joint use that doesn't seek to get money from the state for capital funding. There was a community college with which I was connected that gave land to the city park and recreation, they provided the capital money to build a racquetball, indoor racquetball court. The community college used it in the daytime, and the city used it in the evening. And I don't know, you know, all the details, but I know that, they, you know, the local community college district had the right to use that land as they saw fit. And they saw fit to allow the city to build this facility, which would serve the PE needs of the community college and would serve also the recreational needs. And they, their split was, one would have it all day and one would have it all evening. So there are a lot of joint use yes. things that can happen. Mm-hmm. This is what we're trying to define is when you go to the state for money for joint use, what are the terms? Evidently, at one time this legislature, and I don't recall the bill, but they thought that 25-25, but since a previous legislature made that decision, we as a present legislature can make another decision. And we can give greater flexibility if we feel that's in order.
And I think flexibility is really the issue when you try to do this at the local level. And Senator Simidian, your comments about what happens at the local level. What we advise districts to do is to give credit to the other entity. You do the work and have them sign off as you can. Give them credit because they're basically helping you create something on a facility that you don't have right now, and they will indeed need to be a partner there. You have to give them the access beyond the Civic Center Act requirements. You've got to have specific terms for that. But the flexibility of the program, I think, is really what's at issue here with the 25-25. I think some other options would be beneficial, Senators. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Walrath.
Just to touch briefly on the flexibility issue. Right now, joint use only is applicable if it's done on the school site. I would urge you to think about maybe potentially providing some flexibility for off-site, where a performing arts center might be part of, where a school district would pay for part of a performing arts center that was part of a community performing arts center. Potentially on dealing some things on child care and teacher training on a community college site where the high school kids may be attending at that site as part of a joint program that's developed. So when you look at it along the way of more broadly on simply the school district site and looking at dedication of land as meeting part of the 25% requirement of a local entity.
Additional comments on this issue? Well, we have stayed within our time limit. I want to thank everyone for doing that. Where do we go from here? Well, we are planning to present a report next week that will in turn go to the conference committee. The conference committee will be considering the governor's bond proposal, the assembly bond proposal, and our bond proposal. And we will provide to the members of this committee that report, and we have three things that are going to be happening next week. So I don't want to refer to it as a three-ring circus, but I would say number one, we always have an hour for statewide student council to present their educational recommendations to this committee. That will happen next week. That was scheduled a long time ago. Secondly, we will present this bond proposal, we won't have an agenda, just present the report. And third, we will have a second hearing on the UC compensation issue. We covered most of that, but Mr. Parsky, who was the chair of the Board of Regents, was unable to be here 2 weeks ago, or 1 week ago, and asked to come on February 22nd. I think that Mr. Hertzberg, who's co-chairing a task force, and others will be here. And I've promised at least 30 minutes for public comment because we had to cut it off last time. And I felt, given the fact that this entire auditorium was filled with people, that we needed more time for public comment. So we're going to have a meeting. We'll send out notices to all of the members of the Education Committee but we should have a rather interesting informational hearing a week from today. And so thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
We had a good meeting today. Senator Torlakson.
Appreciate the direction, your headiness, and again, another good hearing. As one of the other follow-ons, whether it should be in the report or not, asking your guidance on that, but I thought the issue that was raised earlier about the infrastructure costs and the city relationships with the school districts, we had a pretty good discussion among us about that, whether that would be incorporated in a report for the conference committee to have some kind of communication, or whether we could just do it as a letter from the committee, basically, you know, inquiring with the League of Cities and CSAC and with the school community. It's not just the K-12, it's the community college and the university school community, to encourage them to have some kind of a joint committee to really look at the interface issues, and a pretty quick survey by the League of its own members and by the school community of its members that have had problems. We could probably identify the interface communities fairly quickly that may need some facilitation to look at the bigger plans and how to accommodate those infrastructure costs on a more logical, advanced basis. And a letter from the committee could do it as well, and I'd be glad to work with you and
good.
Senator Simidian on that.
Well, I think that's a good suggestion. I think that one of the things that helped us on that issue was the fact that both of you had extensive experience in local government, which I haven't had. I will be free to admit, unless you call a community college local government. But I've not had the experience of being either on a city council or a county board of supervisors, and so I appreciate the input of both of you on that matter. And certainly if we could do something to facilitate ways by which discussions could occur on these matters, rather than maybe face-offs occur, it would be helpful.
Great.
Well, we've had a good meeting. I'm going to bring the informational hearing to a close and look forward to seeing you next week. Thank every one of you for your participation.